Welcome to This Week in Craft Beer, the podcast, the weekly show where we interview the people making the magic happen in the UK craft beer scene. This Week in Craft Beer publishes the UK's leading craft beer newsletter every Monday morning by email. To subscribe for free, please visit www.thisweekincraft.beer. This Week in Craft Beer would like to thank our generous Patreon supporters, John Stevens, Nick Flynn, Jamie Ramsey, Sue Johnson, Steve Hartley, Jazz Hundell, Phantom Brewing Company, Dolphin Brewery, Bayonet Brewing Co., The Paper Mill Micropub, Doug Thayer, Robert Baker, Aid Bardi, The Sociable Beer Company, and The Small Batch Brewing Co. So I'm delighted to welcome back to the podcast Brendan from Little Monster Brewing, based in Chichester, West Sussex. Brendan launched Little Monster in January 2018, initially as a gypsy brewery, before opening his own brewery in February this year, just outside Chichester. Brendan, please introduce yourself. Tell me what you've been up to in the 2 years since Little Monster last appeared on This Week in Craft Beer.
Hey, Rob, good to speak to you again. Yeah, I can't believe it's been 2 years, mate.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. God, just what do they say? Time flies. When you're having fun. Well, I think we've been having fun. So
good. Well, I'd hope so. Yeah.
No, good to be back on the show again, mate. Thanks for allowing me to have a catch up, as you said on your intro there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's been happening? As you said, we've got a new premises now, which is great. You know, we were brewing up at Missing Link. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
Gypsy Brewing up at Missing Link with those guys. Yeah, Rob, I just came to a stage now. The stage in the brewery and in Little Monster. Yeah, we had to find our own place, mate. I think, you know, any brewery, that's the goal, you know, is to have your own premises. Worked great up there. You know, we discussed this 2 years ago. You know, yes. It worked great there, but we had to find our own place. And yeah, basically, I got a call December last year from the guy who was running the brewery there before.
Oh, so it was an existing brewery in the.
Brewery. The guy wasn't doing much there. He was working overseas a lot, and then when he sort of came back, he would brew a couple of beers and then sort of launch them and then disappear again. Anyway, so he gave me a call and he said, Brendan, you know, I'm not really brewing there, as you know, plus I'm moving to France with the family. Are you interested? And yeah, cut a long story short, with a bit of negotiation, we moved in there sort of, end of December, beginning of January of this year.
Fabulous, yeah.
So, yeah, it was just nice to eventually, you know, find our own home. And I think me driving up to sort of East Grinstead or just the other side of East Grinstead was just, was killing me as well. Purgatory. So it's nice, literally 10 minutes out of Chichester. It's
just so north just to the north of Chichester, right?
Yeah, just north of Chichester, just a little village called Lavant. So just past there. And we settled in nice. I can't believe it's nearly a year we've been in there now.
Wow. So how much space you got?
So we've got a bigger space there. I started off with 4 tanks. Mm-hmm. So that's what I bought. I bought basically everything from the existing brewery. I think Adrian pretty much just took 2 computer screens, a computer, his keyboard and mouse, and that was it. He left everything else for me. So we got 4 tanks. We had 4 tanks, and then we're up to 9 now.
Oh, fabulous.
So, awesome. Over the year, we're up to 9.
Yeah.
So I think we're pretty much capacity now.
Right.
It's a bigger space, but it works well for us.
I think we'll
be there for at least another year or so. If things progress, which I'm sure we'll get into in a sec, we'll definitely have to find a new premises.
Okay.
But I think you got the gist of it, Rob. I think we needed our own premises.
Definitely.
This came up and we jumped at it and it's working well for us.
Right.
It's not the most modern kit. It's about 5 years old, the kit.
Okay.
But we've made a few tweaks on it. We've made a few adjustments and I think the beers are coming out great.
Oh, that's great to hear.
I would say the only thing I miss, what I had at Missing Link, was the centrifuge.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a centrifuge. Unfortunately, I don't have 70 grand just lying around.
I was going to say a lot of smaller breweries unfortunately don't come around to a centrifuge,
but it just boils down to we're just having to leave the beers in tank a bit longer, you know.
Right.
So it gives us a bit longer to drop out the yeast and the hops.
Yeah.
You know, where if you had a centrifuge, you'll basically, you know, just clean that all up pretty easily. So, yeah, what else? You've seen on our socials, we had Jordan
yep.
Join me as head brewer.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Me and Jordan, we've known each other, you know, 5-6 years now.
Yep.
If your audience aren't aware, Jordan was head brewer at Staggeringly Good Beer in Southsea, Portsmouth. He was the brains behind the Wreckers and the and the sour pods. The sour pods as well, and all the other beers. And Jordan's a great guy. So we've known each other a long time, and he's fitted in really well. He's just taken over. Yeah, all the brewing. I do help him a bit, but I've sort of just left him to do that. And things are good with it. Yes. Yeah, so I'm just concentrating a bit more running the business and sort of put my sales hat back on. We don't have a salesperson, but again, I'll get into that in a sec. Yeah, Rob, I think again when I spoke to you a couple of years ago, and obviously we've got busier and a lot more has happened. I just couldn't run Little Monster on my own anymore. Mm. I know a lot of my friends in the industry is like, Brendan, I'm surprised you lasted this long on your own. Yeah. You know, Rob, trying to brew, run the business, then do sales and then do deliveries. I don't have to say more.
Doesn't bear thinking about it, especially as you were driving an hour plus to East Grinsey to get to your brewery. Exactly.
So I just had to, bring someone on, and it just worked out that Jordan was coming, or he had left Staggeringly already.
Right.
He was traveling, and he basically phoned me or texted me and said, Brendan, I'm back in the country in another month or so. Are you looking for anyone? I was like, yeah, actually I am. I need someone. So, and it's been great. We've done a number of new beers together. And I'm sure we will talk about those in a sec. I know we've chosen two to talk about tonight.
Yes.
We've still got Robbie. You know, I think Robbie still helps me out. Robbie does all my social media, and he does events and some marketing. So Robbie's still involved, but just on a more part-time basis. And then my ex-partner, Jane, I think who I mentioned last time, Jane's still around. She still helps me with the accounts and sort of managing all the sort of the invoicing and some accounts and bookkeeping and that type of thing. So there's literally four of us, but me and Jordan obviously are the main, you know, the two sort of permanent staff and that. And then I might as well get onto it in a sec what I mentioned. So sales wise we are looking at someone starting at sales, just to help us on a sort of 1 day, 2 days a week.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, Rob, I just don't, unfortunately, just can't afford someone permanent just yet.
No, but I do know that breweries, this is not unusual for breweries to sort of share sales staff, is it? I think, you know, it's a job that I think you potentially can represent more than one brewery and do a really good job with that. So, you know, I don't think that's an unrealistic thought.
Absolutely. You know, listen, I would love to hire someone full time, but I don't think we're producing, even though we're up to 9 tanks, I don't think we're producing that much beer yet to, you know, what we brewing now is, you know, it's selling. Like, don't get me wrong. It's, you know, it's not flying out, but it is selling.
Yep.
But yeah, looks like we've got someone to help us, well, 1 day a week, 2 days a week. She comes from an alcohol industry, so not really craft beer, but she used to run some of the biggest gin festival in the UK. And she still sort of works in spirits now. So even though craft beer is quite new for her, she sort of has that.
She understands the distribution side of it and the retail side, I'm sure. So that's good.
Exactly. So she can bring all that to the party. Yes, and Naomi starting hopefully December. If not, she'll just start in the new year.
Right.
Fifth person in the new year. And there you are.
And back to the brewery. So I saw, just sort of thumbing back through your Instagram feed today, and I remember seeing earlier in the year as well, that you've had sort of the odd taproom day or opening day, but not anything regular. So what's the status there, and how's that been going?
Yeah, unfortunately it's closed now, but yeah, that's right. We had the taproom open in the summer.
Right.
We opened.
Was it every weekend or?
No, it was every other weekend.
Okay.
Rob, we were just using temporary licenses, you know, the 10 licenses.
With,
So you are limited to you know, a certain number each year. Hence why it was every other weekend.
Okay.
And it worked well. We had some good crowds, but unfortunately, you know, with the weather changing, even though it's been quite mild, we just don't have any indoor space. We've got no awning or cover for people to sit outside, and with it getting a little chilly now and rain and all that, we've had to stop it, unfortunately. But we are looking at something.
Okay.
We are looking at something in Chichester. We don't want to say anything too just yet, but
no.
We are. Yeah, like I said, nothing to hide. But there are some things we're looking at, like a tap room somewhere else, not at the brewery,
yeah,
or a pop up or something along those lines. So
right. So you'll be back in some shape or form, in 2023.
Absolutely. We want to have a tap room if it's at the brewery or. Yep. A presence in Chichester or just our side or something. Yeah, we want to, because the feedback we had from people coming in, people loved it. People absolutely loved it. And I think because where we situated as well, we're 10 minutes out of Chichester. We're right in the heart of the South Downs National Park, right near Kingly Vale. It's a beautiful drive out there. So people sort of made it a bit of a day out.
Nice, come and do a walk sort of, before or afterwards or whatever. And just
walks and cyclists and, mm-hmm. and guys just coming up for food because we had different food vans.
Right.
And then we will, if we do find what I've just spoken about, like a little pop-up or something in Chichester or a tap room, we will start the brewery tap room again as well, because it's just such a nice venue where we are.
Right.
But we might just not do it on a regular, we might just have like one event a month or something. Yeah. So, but that worked well. And we had some nice crowds there and it was fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Really is the way to grow the local customer base and just really connect with the local community, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Robin. I think also I've been talking to a lot of other brewery owners recently. I think taproom is quite key at the moment in terms of just money and cash flow.
Yeah,
and I'm sure we'll get onto this in a sec with things being quite tough out there at the moment. Yeah, taproom, as I said, what I'm speaking to a lot of other breweries is a lot of these guys are saying the taprooms are keeping them going
without the taproom. It starts to become borderline not viable. I understand
exactly, and I think we're missing that a bit. Mm-hmm. We just selling selling direct to customers and that type of thing. So yeah, it is our priority to hopefully find something soon.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I shall watch this space. Talk about this first beer, Brendan. This is your Blackcurrant Blackberry and Pink Guava Sour. 4.2%. Just got some brief tasting notes to read, which say our new Acid Monster Sour Series. We brewed a beautiful clean kettle sour with blackberry, blackcurrant and pink guava puree. Low ABV, but big flavour with a crisp, tart finish. Yep, just a perfect first beer of the day. Delicious. Yeah. I love these fruits of the forest flavours. Can't beat blackberry and blackcurrant. Just amazing. Just really nice sort of moderate tartness to it. Just everything that you really want in just a fresh, easy drinking sour. So really nice beer to start the evening with, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. And I got to give these are Jordan the start of his new beers. Rob, as you explained there, just a nice clean sour beer. The mm-hmm. some of the previous sours I was doing, again before Jordan started, and I'm sure you've read about it, I was using that yeast where it basically it sours the beer in tank.
Oh, Philly sour. Are you talking about?
Philly sour, and there's a number of different brands now. Yeah. So I was using those, but they always didn't quite work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just me being busy and trying to do 101 things, they were just easy, they were the convenience of them. You get the pH down to a certain level, you chuck in the Philly sour, mm-hmm. and it does its thing, and then once you've got the sour, the required pH on the sour, then you throw in your normal brewing yeast, and they worked well. But we wanted to get back to like nice proper kettle sours. So these two, the blackberry one, and the pineapple one, the two new one out of the Acid Monster series. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Two clean kettle sours. We wanted to just go with something just easy for the first two. When I say easy, as you said it, just those fruits of the forest type. Flavors, all sort of flavors. The other one we did was pineapple, peach and pink guava, again, nice. Just nice fruits, what people can relate to. And again, 4.2, nice and sessionable. And I think they've come out really nice.
Tasted the other one yet, but I've got it in the fridge. Yeah. I'll get to that in the next couple of days.
No, but nice. Yeah, well, you enjoy that. The next ones, we're just going to start ramping up.
So I've got to ask, based on Jordan's heritage at Staggeringly with the amazing sours and fruit beers they were cracking out there. So you let him flex his muscles a bit more with this future series? Or?
Absolutely. You're definitely going to up the game on mm-hmm. the, you know...
nothing wrong with this one we're drinking here at all. It's, but I can see that, there are levels you can go, aren't there? In terms of the depth and the complexity of the fruit flavors.
Exactly. No, we're definitely going to do that, Rob. As I say again, these first two, we just wanted just a nice introduction to this new series we're doing, this Acid Monster series.
Yep.
We're not going to do anything like what Jordan did at the other brewery, these real sort of really sort of out there wacky beers. But we are going to up our game a little bit. We're going to start mm-hmm. mixing the fruit flavors. We've got some really interesting fruit coming on the next two. We've ordered all the fruit for the next two. We're going to up the ABVs a little bit. And they're going to be, again, just two clean kettle sours again.
Right, the next two. I just looking back through my notes from the conversation we had 2 years ago this afternoon, I remember at the time we had a brief chat about barrel aging, and obviously your status 2 years ago, you weren't able to have anything in barrels. Have you got any barrels laid down yet at the brewery in Chichester?
Well, funny enough, you brought that up, Rob. We actually kegged two, or actually three, barrel-aged beers today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Anybody think you'd tip me off to ask that question, wouldn't you? But
exactly.
That was a genuinely...
Yeah, who have you been speaking to? We actually... kicked a couple of the barrels today. So I brewed a stout at the beginning of the year, and we put it into a Buffalo Trace bourbon barrel.
Nice.
A Laphroaig whiskey.
Oh, terrific.
And a Plantation rum barrel as well.
Nice. The same beer into all three.
So same beer into all three. I'm not afraid to admit this. I think I made a bit of a mistake in terms of I should have gone for something, the stout wise, I should have gone for something a lot thicker and bigger.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think I brewed like a 6% stout, and it just didn't quite carry the body. Hence why we've put everything into keg today. Because we did want to put it into can and or bottles. But I just think the body and, a lot of barrels, you want that real sort of impy stout, that big, thick 10, 11, 12%.
Yeah. The viscosity is all part of the experience of drinking it, isn't it?
That's it, exactly. Yeah. And I just think that with it being 6%, they've just come out a little thin, not quite what we were looking for.
Right. But they'll still sell, I'm sure they'll still sell nicely on draft. So, especially heading into the Christmas season.
Absolutely. And they're tasting absolutely fabulous. So we blended the bourbon, so the Buffalo Trace and the Plantation rum, we blended those together.
Okay.
We just didn't feel we were getting just quite the flavor from the rum barrel.
Right. Yeah.
But mixed with the bourbon, it's absolutely superb.
Lovely. And the Laphroaig is kept on its own.
And it's just...
lovely peaty flavor, I'm sure
Exactly, Roy. If any of your listeners are whiskey drinkers, if they know Laphroaig, they'll know. Yeah, it's like you said, it's that peaty, sort of smoky, woody. It's beautiful. And the other thing is we've nitroed it as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We've nitroed both the tanks as well. Mm-hmm. And when you pour it, it's just this beautiful, thick sort of eruption in the glass of that.
Terrific. Yeah.
So those are going to be launching really soon. So that's heading out for
distribution this week, is it pretty much?
Not this week. We'll leave it for the following week. Yeah, okay. We just kicked it today. But there you go. There's your answer about what we've done with barrels.
Well, that's absolutely awesome. I hope you're sending some to Reading. That's all I can say, Brendan.
I think the Phantom
or Double Barrel ordered any from you?
They haven't ordered it. I would likely more the Phantom guys will hopefully take from us. But just to carry on with barrels, that's our first sort of dig at the barrels. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely going to be diving into.
So you're going to be able to get a second fill into those barrels, you think? There'll be enough left in there to.
I think we can get a second fill into those barrels. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely get a second fill into those barrels. And we're looking at getting some other ones as well. Mm-hmm. We want to do not only stouts, we want to start doing maybe some saisons or some bretted beers as well.
Lovely. Yeah. Get some red wine barrels in maybe next time.
Or, something yeah. like that, or yeah. some red wine, or some tequila barrels, or some just sort of the more lighter, type styles than that. I was actually drinking a really good brewery. I'm sure you've heard Eight Wired in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was drinking one of their sort of cherry bretted beer the other day, actually. God, it was absolutely stunning. So we want to sort of do those sort of bretted sours and that. There you are.
Brilliant. Well, that's great to hear. I'm glad that you're heading down that path anyway. I suspected that you probably would be, but I really look forward to hopefully getting to taste those different stout variants.
While we're on the dark beer, we actually just brewed our first sort of dark beer for the year. Mm-hmm. We've just brewed a nice stout as well. It's a chocolate salted caramel stout.
Nice.
That should be ready end of next week.
What's the ABV on that one?
ABV will be about 6% on that. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's still fermenting away. It's nearly there.
Right.
We're doing some nice stuff with that. So
brilliant.
We've got some really good chocolate puree on that. The saltiness is coming through I'm looking forward to that one.
Lovely. I like a bit of salt in my beer, I must say.
we were thinking of doing the tiramisu stout, what we did last year. We thought we'd just mix it up a bit this year. Mm. And I've been actually drinking a few chocolate salted caramel stouts from a couple of other breweries just really works well, I think.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't come up too sweet. That's the only reservation I've got with all these sort of dessert stouts is that, you know, it's easy to overdo the sweetness for at least on my palate, but I do like the depth and variety of flavors you've got there to play with. It can be really
absolutely cool. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, these overly sweet pastry stouts. Mm. This is going to be hopefully fairly balanced with the salt and the chocolate and that. So that's another one for your listeners to look out for.
Brilliant. And that'll be coming out, well, I guess the end of the month sort of thing, will it?
End of the month.
So ready for the Christmas season.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're canning that next Thursday, and then we'll launch it sort of the following Monday, which would literally be end of the month. So they'll be ready for December.
Terrific. You got your own canning line, Brendan, or your mobile canning?
We don't, unfortunately. No. Yeah, we don't, Rob. No, that's something we're definitely looking into. Mm-hmm. But at the moment we're using mobile canners and it's worked pretty well, but we're hoping to get our own canning line in the new year sometime as well.
Yep.
Again, these things don't come cheap.
No, absolutely. You've got to decide very carefully where to spend your money at the moment. I think that's pretty clear. It's there's no way around it. It's going to be a tough 2023, isn't it, in terms of consumer spending, and you've got to proceed with caution, I think.
Yeah.
Let's take a short break, Brendan. So I'm back with Brendan from Little Monster for the second half of the show. Brendan, I've already had your answer to what makes you different when we recorded 2 years ago. So I'm going to give you the variation on the second half question, which is, what do you wish you'd done differently? Is there something you look back on and say, and this could be business or brewing, you look back and say, well, that was all very well, but if we'd actually done this instead of that, then we would be further ahead, or things would have turned out slightly differently. And it doesn't have to be a big sort of negative kind of tale of woe, but just curious to get your Monday morning quarterbacking. They call it in the US, don't they? Looking back on the last year or two, and anything you perhaps would have done differently.
Would this be a good answer? Maybe not got into brewing.
No, that would have been a tragedy, because then we would all been denied your lovely beers. So no, I'm not having that.
That's too drastic. No. I'm teasing. I love what I do, even though it's
at times you question your sanity, but it's still
exactly. I do that a lot, but even though it's a tough gig at the moment, no, I absolutely love what I do, Robin. What would I've done differently? I think two things, Rob. I even though we touched on it earlier, I think I would have liked to have not done the whole gypsy brewing as long as I did.
Right. Yep.
But again, if I didn't do gypsy brewing, what else have I done if this other brewery didn't come up? I just think in terms of just more establishing ourselves as a brand and as a brewery, I don't think a lot of people took us serious because we're using someone else's facility, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, don't get me wrong. Listen, it was amazing. And we had, you know, that the guys at Missing Link gave us an opportunity to brew there, you know, that, you know, I'm forever grateful for them allowing us to brew there. But I think it just went on a little too long. And I know you had, Joe on from Drop Project.
That's right. Yep.
A week or so ago. And I remember always Joe saying to me that, you know, they wish they sort of found their own premises a little sooner and that. But they were in the same situation, you know, they just couldn't find anything at the time. So, you know, you've got to sort of do what you have to do.
You have. And I guess, you know, to comment on that, I dare say you would have got something going a bit sooner if you hadn't been operating under pandemic conditions for the past 2 years. You know, that obviously would have been a major factor in causing you to not rush. And I think, you know, absolutely right to do that under the circumstances.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, it's worked out nicely now, Rob. You know, we've got our own place. But yeah, I think I would have liked to have just got our own place just a little sooner.
Right.
And then I think the second thing is, again, we touched on it earlier. I think trying to run Little Monster on my own.
Right.
It's not been easy and it's been tough.
Yeah.
And I feel, and again, you know, I'm very upfront and transparent about things. I feel because I've tried to run it for this long on my own, I felt we have lost a little bit of traction as well.
Right.
Because I've, you know, I haven't focused on everything, you know, just little things, you know, not sort of following up on export emails and not right. following up on this. So I think, you know, I should have just bit the bullet a year or two ago and hired more staff and just stuck with that. You know, just try to run it on my own, a bit too long on my own.
Understood.
I think it's biting us in the bum a bit now.
But
listen, we got Jordan on board now. I've got the other staff and we're getting back up there again.
Sounds like you made really good progress this year, really.
Absolutely. We've got our own brewery,
which
I'm so grateful for and happy about. We've got our own facility. We've got Jordan on board now. Mm-hmm. You know, I've still got Jane and Robbie. And I think that's a tap on the shoulder, you know, a slap on the back to say, you know, well done in that. So we should be happy about that.
Definitely.
Hopefully I've answered that. So
good answers. No, I think those are two good and very honest answers. And I think it makes perfect sense. We've moved on to Hot Roots Hot Soups.
Yeah.
4.7% New England IPA. Tasting notes I have say, Hot Roots Hot Soups was brewed with two new hop varieties we haven't used before. We are super stoked how this beer came out. Zappa, named after Frank Zappa, and HBC 586, both hot and cold side with flavours of pineapple, lychee, melon, with touches of spice, mint and orange. With its own rebellious aroma. We love it. I'm not surprised. I love it as well. I mean, this is ridiculous at 4.7, to be honest with you.
I was trying to just reading the tasting notes there. I just remember. So I actually put some Frank Zappa on and I was listening to that. I do. Right. Me and Jordan, we do love this beer. It's just so different to, you know, what we've brewed before. Not like when I say so different, not like we didn't change anything in our brewing technique. Mm. I just think just the flavors we're getting.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Just before we brewed this beer, I said to Jordan, I'm not sure if I'm going to actually put the Zappa in this beer. And he's like, why, Brent? He's like, oh, I've been hearing really mixed reviews about Zappa. And I know used quite a bit in the US. Obviously, it comes from... it comes from the US and that. It sort of comes from the Arizona region.
Yes.
Was sort of wild. It was grown wild in
that's Arizona. Right. Yeah, it was wild for a while, wasn't it? Now, I think it's cultivated, isn't it? But for in its early usage, it was literally being foraged, wasn't it?
That's it. And the other one is a Medusa, and a hop mm-hmm. called Medusa. And the name for it is actually Neo Mexicanus. That's the name of these two hops. Neo Mexicanus. So they're basically were grown wild in New Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they're cultivated now up in Washington and Oregon and that.
Yeah.
But going back to, so I obviously had some of these hops and I sort of, you know, when you just get that last sort of, damn, I wonder if this is going to work. And he's like, no, let's go for it, let's go for it. Yeah, and you know what, Rob, I'm so glad I stuck with, because as I say, I absolutely love it. Yeah, the HSBC, which again, we haven't used before, it's an experimental hop. I absolutely love that hop. We've got a little bit more for next year on contract.
Nice.
And Zappa just adds that real... It just, I don't know, it just gives me that real sort of, that real sort of funky.
It's got like a sherbety sort of tickle to it, but not really super sweet either. You know, there's obviously some sweetness there, as you would hope. But, you know, it just reminds me of just like a tickle on the palate of sort of a sherbet. Yeah. But the fruit flavor is really pronounced. Lovely orange and sort of tangerine-y flavor.
Yeah, there's a lot of orange there. I'm getting a lot of pineapple as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's coming from the 586.
The
Zappa gives that little, like you say, that sort of, that sherbety, funky sort of taste there, but it's proved it. We've pretty much sold out on it. I think I've got one keg left, and we've got about 5-6 cases left of it. It's gone down really well.
You got the hops to brew again, you say?
We've got Zappa hops. I don't have Zappa on contract, but I know they're quite easy to get.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this will definitely be a brew we'll do in the future.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it. We both love the beer, and I think we've been getting some good reviews and some good feedback on it. And I'm glad you liked it. So
this is terrific. Yeah. And I think there's increasing demand for this sort of, you know, around about 5% New England pale,
absolutely,
New England IPA.
Yes.
You know, I think that's where, you know, a year ago people were demanding 7-8% New England. So I think that, you know, the it seems like that sort of scale has reset a bit now, and this is the almost like the sweet spot for, you know, it's like it's just, you know, I just had Daya on the podcast last week. And obviously, you know, this is kind of steady rolling man territory, isn't it, in terms of the ABV and
absolutely
and the level of fruit flavors. This is a great beer, Brendan. I think I'm really impressed.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you like it. Well, I think you're 100% right, Rob. If you look at our Yule, you know, which I know you've drunk before, and I think I sent you some samples as well. You know, that's still our biggest selling beer, and that's a 4.6.
Yeah,
Yule is still our flagship beer. These lower ABVs are definitely where it is at the moment. I think people still want to drink, you know, the 6%ers, the 7%ers, even the 8%ers. But funny enough, we haven't done, we did a 5.8 out of the new range of beers as well, but we haven't done anything sort of 6.5, above 6.5, I would say, God, in the last at least 6 months now, 8 months now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think our biggest one is Monarchy, you know, which is our New Zealand, IPA, which is a popular one.
Yeah.
Because we're definitely seeing in the market, everyone's drinking, I would say 5.5 and below. That's definitely where everyone is at the moment.
Let's talk about festivals, reflecting back on 2022 and looking forward to 2023 as much as you're able to tell us what you've got in the calendar already. How's this summer been for you? Have you been to many events?
We got invited to a couple of events, Rob. Mm-hmm. We didn't get invited to too many, unfortunately, but it is something we definitely want to get more involved with festivals next year. Yeah, we did a couple last year. They were fun.
Yep.
We always like doing festivals. Mm-hmm. We did a number of tap takeovers, which we always love doing. But yeah, that is something on our radar.
I mean, I guess now, you know, having Jordan now, so you're not doing all the brewing, means you've actually got time to sort of absolutely get your head up out of the brew kit and start to think about these kind of things.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying to you earlier, you know, with Jordan sort of taking over now, I can actually start doing these things, which I've been wanting to do for the sort of the last year or so.
Yeah.
We've been approached by one or two festivals already. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll get onto a couple. But and going back to Jordan, just having sort of his contacts from his, you know, his previous brewery.
Yeah.
He's put his feelers out there, and we're hoping to get onto a lot more festivals for next year. And that's definitely something on our radar. Yeah.
You got any tap takeovers coming up or anything?
Again, I don't know if you've seen on our socials, Rob, we're doing this collab with Phantom.
Yes.
It's called Communion. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's going to be four beers over the year, even though we sort of started, you know, we only started it a couple of months ago. We're launching that on the weekend, on Friday.
Oh, great.
So I don't know when your listeners will get this. So it might have passed already.
That will already be in the past.
That's all good. It's going to be, it's not sort of a one-off event. We're starting on the 18th, and we're going to it's going to be over a couple of weeks and that. So, but yeah, the quick story behind that is, yeah, I've had a good relationship with the Phantom guys.
Right.
We've done a number of collabs. I'm sure you're aware of a few of them.
Yep.
That double cherry we did.
That cherry was nuts. So yeah, but yeah, that was earlier this year. That was a brilliant beer. Yeah,
that was insane. So we've done that, and then we've done some other ones with them. So basically, we all got together, and what I liked about this collab, Rob, is we didn't actually know what we were brewing till sort of last minute.
Oh,
so we spoke to the Phantom guys, and we decided that, yes, let's do two 5% pale ales. They came and brewed one at us, and then we brewed one at them. But the recipe was sort of a bit secret.
Okay.
We didn't know what sort of yeast they were using. We didn't know what hops they were putting in.
Yeah.
Which I thought made it, you know, just a little different, you know, because normally with collabs, me and you do a collab, you know, we would
emailing on the recipe back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, email back and forth. And so this was literally on the day they arrived. And it was quite funny. They brought this like briefcase, and it's like, there's the briefcase, and they opened it, and like, there's the recipe. And <it's> like, so we did the same thing to them. We took our recipe to them. They didn't know what we were brewing, and just something a little different, you know. So that's launching on Friday. Two 5% pale ales.
Yep.
And yeah, we're looking forward to those.
Brilliant. Are you coming up to Reading for the first pours of those, or?
So the first pours are actually going to be in Southsea.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to be in Southsea at a pub in Southsea. Yep. But we've got a number of different pubs around the country, different bars, where we're sending beer to them, and they're going to put it on and all that.
Right. Yep.
So that's with Phantom. Collab, I've got, you know, we did, again, I'm sure you saw on our socials, we just did a red IPA in cask with Darkstar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just done that. So we're launching that this week as well. Again, might be a little bit late for your listeners, but definitely it'll be out there by the time this goes out.
Right.
So that's called Red Giant. I've got another collab with my mates in Atlanta, Wild Heaven Brewery in Atlanta.
Brilliant.
They brew a prickly pear double IPA called Wild Monster.
Okay.
And they've done it twice now in Atlanta.
Right.
And I got hold of Eric, who's the brewmaster there, and we're going to brew it. Yeah, but we're going to change it up a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Prickly pear in Chichester?
We can get hold of prickly pear. Yes. And it is going to be prickly pear, and it is going to be, yeah, but we're going to mix it up a little bit. So, nice. So that's coming up, Rob. And then again, yeah, we've got a number of, hopefully a couple of other collabs ready for the new year. We love doing collabs, and if any other breweries are listening to this, we love brewing with other breweries and friends and all that. So we're always up for that. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. At this stage, always ask the guests if there's anything else that you wanted to have a conversation arc around.
Rob, I'm just going to just really say thank you to everyone out there, you know, from supporting us still, from the consumers to our web orders, to our trade guys, to our bars, restaurants, bottle shops. Yeah, just a big thank you to everyone for supporting Little Monster and you know, believing us and still enjoying the beer. You know, I've said this to you before, you know, we don't always get it right. You know, it's a tough market.
Yeah.
I know we haven't touched on it too much, but I'm sure you're hearing it from, you know, the other guys. It's tough out there at the moment, mate.
Definitely.
And not only in the brewing industry, everyone, you know. Everyone.
No, exactly. And that's, everybody's feeling it, aren't they? And
everyone's feeling it.
We've just got to help each other through the next year, and then hopefully, you know, better times are beyond that.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. So just a big thank you to all our customers and trade customers. I know everyone can't buy beer all the time, and everyone's got a limit to what they can buy. But we really appreciate the guys supporting us, and we just got a lot of fun stuff coming. You know, with Jordan on board now, we just got a lot of great ideas for the new year.
Yeah.
You know, with the Acid Monster series carrying on. We've got some nice collabs, as I said. You know, we touched on it. We're going to extend our barrel program.
Yes.
Yeah, Rob, we just got some fun stuff, mate. We're going to really just keep going and do what we do best, you know, and just try and make great beer and people to enjoy our beer. And then also again, we touched on it right at the beginning of the show. Yeah, just keep look out for this this sort of pop up or this tap room. What we're going to try?
Yes, exciting.
Get going as well.
Brilliant. Well, yeah. let me know as soon as you got some
absolutely.
More news on that, because I'd love to give it a plug.
No,
both on the podcast and the newsletter.
Appreciate that, mate. Cheers.
So let's get into the home straight then. And we did this before, but you can never have too many answers to this question. So I'll ask you again to give a shout out to a little guy. And I'm looking for you to mention one or more local to you beer businesses that you think are doing a great job promoting independent craft beer. And that can be a restaurant, a pub, a bottle shop, obviously a tap room or another brewery. But somebody that you think is doing a great job promoting the, you know, the craft beer scene in the south of England.
I'm going to give a shout out to a friend of mine, just a great guy, great brewer, is my friend Brooke from mm-hmm. Broly Brewing.
Okay.
He's just about to, well, they've just started a crowdfunding
nice.
for a new brewery and tap room in Horsham.
Oh, nice.
They've just put out a crowdfund for that. I've known Brooke for a number of years. Mm-hmm. He does some amazing cask beer. He does keg yep. as well. I think he's similar to Little Monster. You know, he's just passionate and he loves what he does. And yeah, hopefully they can get the funding for their new brewery and tap room.
Fabulous.
So my shout out is to Brooke and the team at Broly Brewing.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks for that. You can have another one if you've got one more. Don't otherwise.
I would also say there's a friend at Fauna Brewing is a new brewery opening up in Arundel.
Okay.
They've just opened their tap room, or they've had it for a couple of months.
Right.
They're just in the process of opening their brewery as well. So we're going to have a nice, nice new brewery in Arundel.
Oh, wonderful.
I've known those guys for a little while, and they're going to be doing some good stuff there as well. So
terrific.
Yeah, good.
All right. Thanks for that, Brendan. So we are at the wrap-up question, and here, again, I will give you the alternate question, because I've already had your ultimate happy hour last time we spoke. So here, instead of that, I would like to know what beer or beer style you'd like to resurrect from history, and that could be recent history or ancient history, so that you could taste it either again or for the first time.
My answer be a little bit different?
Sure, I'm counting on it.
I would like to see breweries mixing things up a little bit more.
Okay.
I just feel like there's, and I know they're popular sales, and I know everyone wants to drink them, but I feel there's just too much hazy yellow beer at the moment,
sure,
Rob.
I understand, yeah.
I would like to see like more sort of like traditional, more like Belgium style beers, German style beers. You know what I'm trying to.
Absolutely, I totally understand it. It's obviously largely driven by market forces, of course, isn't it? And
absolutely.
So it's hard to tell people to brew a beer that they think they're going to struggle to sell, rather than one they know they can sell without trying.
Absolutely, you just look at all those great German styles like Dunkels and Doppelbocks and wheat beers and Belgian wit beers. I would like to see more of those. And I know what, and I, we're in the same boat. We brew a, I'll give you a perfect example. We brew Point Blanc is our Belgian wit beer.
Yep.
Which is similar to, well, I try to replicate it like for like to Allagash White.
Right.
Which is an amazing.
Absolutely. You know, legend of the beer scene for decades.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like Allagash White is like just, like such a great beer.
Yeah.
Like we brewed that this year again. We brewed it last year and it sold really well. We brewed it this year again. It sold well, but it just hasn't flown off the shelf like if we had to brew a yellow beer, you know, a sort of hazy yellow beer. And it's just that mindset. If it's not yellow, it's not a good beer. And it's just crazy. Sorry, I know I'm sort of generalizing a little bit.
No, no.
I'm sure there's loads of people listening to this podcast who love all those sort of German beers and those Belgium style beers.
Yep.
But I would like to see more those type of beers. And there just seems to be too much yellow beer.
I know. Well, look, I mean, I'm kind of the worst, almost like the worst culprit, because I'm the biggest cheerleader on earth for the New England style of beers. You know, I can just drink these till the cow comes home. But
We all can.
Wednesday, I'm off to Munich this week, Wednesday to Friday, and I'm really looking forward to it. Actually, I've done any time I go to a city that I'm not very familiar with, I spend a couple of hours plotting a Google map of all the places I need to go. And I'm not talking about business meetings; I'm talking about tap rooms and beer kellers and whatever. And so, you know, I've got my eye on the Augustiner brew house and several other similar sort of, you know, very traditional German places. But there's also some really interesting sort of, you know, what you might call modern craft beer, American style craft beer, for want of a better turn of phrase, as well in Munich. So I've got quite a busy couple of days planned actually in Munich. I do have to do some work as well, I'm afraid, while I'm there, which is a bit of a shame. But the evenings are going to be great. And just to your point, I'm really looking forward to actually going and drinking, having a couple of nights drinking a load of really traditional German beer styles, just to, you know, to... Yeah. Remind myself just how good they can be.
No, absolutely, Rob. And I think to try, I know I didn't quite answer it, but I think you get the gist of it. Yeah. You know, I'd just like to see, just a bit more of these different styles. Like as you said, I love the New England style as well. I drink loads, we brew loads. I think for me, that's what I'd like to see. And hopefully... You know, we actually got, when I said we upgraded to 9 tanks. So 2 of those tanks are actually 2 little 600 liter tanks.
Okay.
So with those 2 tanks now, you will be seeing sort of a bit more experimental type beers more sort of the ones we just spoke about, you know, Dunkel and Doppelbox and wheat beers and those type of things, just to mix it up a bit. So, absolutely.
Good answer. Yeah, I'm happy with that, Brendan. And look, it's been lots of fun catching up with you. It's been too long. Let's not leave it 2 years until we do this again, right?
Absolutely. Rob, thank you so much for having me again. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm thrilled with the progress you made this year, you know, both with the brewery and Secure and Jordan, you know, as well as the other additions to the staff that you're talking about. Yeah. I think, you know, you've done really well under the circumstances, and hopefully you're in a position to really kick on from here. I can't wait to see if and when you get your permanent tap room established. But I'm sure, you know, one way or another, I'm sure we'll get a chance to have a beer in person over the next year. So I very much look forward to that.
Absolutely. Rob, thanks again, man. Thanks to everyone who's listening. Really appreciate everyone's time and your time, Rob. We're in a good position. Just got to get through the next couple of months, get back into spring, summer again.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to like what's on the horizon, and just expect, you know, what we're known for, you know, good IPAs, good pale ales with a bit of funky stuff thrown in between. So
nice. I'll sign up for that.